from WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Life. I'm your host, Carrie Barber. Last month, the David Lawrence Centers for Behavioral Health introduced a program for adults who could benefit from a partial hospitalization. The program, known as Pathways to Healing, serves as a transition from inpatient hospitalization to traditional outpatient services. Joining us today is David Lawrence's Denise McNulty, who will tell us more about the program. Denise, welcome to Gulf Coast Life.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm very happy to be here.
First, can you give us the overview? What is Pathways to Healing? Tell us about the program.
Thank you. Yes, Pathways to Healing is the official name of the program, but it's actually an adult partial hospitalization program for people 18 years of age and older. And it's designed to help people basically stay out of the hospital, or as a step down from the hospital, or as a step up from outpatient if they need more intensive services. It's Monday through Friday, and it starts at 12 noon to 5 p.m.
Okay.
So we tried to keep in mind, you know, if people were working, or also people are on medication sometimes and it's hard for them to get up in the morning. They might be a little groggy. So we figured if we started at 12 noon with lunch, that might be nice for people to start up, you know, on a positive note, mm-hmm. and then not tie up their whole day so that they could go home by 5.
Who is eligible for it? Like who are you looking to help with this program?
Well, the adults who are struggling either with a mental health issue, it could be depression, anxiety, maybe some issues with addiction. You know, if there's a substance use involved, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, a food addiction, even though we're not an eating disorder program, we could certainly help with, you know, any kind of addiction through that program, primarily mental health, but we can serve both addiction and the substance use disorders as far as, you know, any of the substances I mentioned or the addictions, but primarily mental health.
Okay. So is it people who are struggling with a mental health and a substance?
It would be or. Could be
and
or.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes they go hand in hand. You know,
sure.
Everyone copes differently.
Yeah.
And sometimes people do use a substance of some kind to help them cope. We often see both, and sometimes just mental health. The only person that we probably would not accept for that program would be someone that really didn't have any mental health issues, just a substance use, because we have a separate program for that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. And you already have one for teens,
yes.
Right? Yeah, you have a similar program. Yeah, I want to ask you about that later, too. But so how long is this program? Like, how long will people stay in it?
We're pretty flexible, so we try to tailor it to the needs of the individual. Sometimes people, you know, are so focused. For example, someone was in college and very focused on getting back into classes. So we tailored the program to her. And we were very flexible. She was there 10 days. And the stress was relieved. You know, she was able to concentrate on the program and not worry about school because she knew there was an end date to that. Other people might come in and they might say, for example, I had a gentleman call me and he said, I'd like to stay in it forever. And I actually laughed and I said, well, that's so nice, you know, that you were thinking of the program. But, you know, and I wasn't going to have that conversation with him on the phone, but basically help him as he ended the program to, you know, help him transition to outpatient.
Yes.
Because it isn't a program to stay in forever. But that means that he knew he needed some kind of treatment beyond the partial hospital program. So he already told us on the first phone call, you know, so we were prepared when he came.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's interesting. Can you describe a typical day? Like, what sort of things are people doing there?
Yes. Well, they're pretty busy. We do have some structure for them because a lot of people will share with us that that's part of their problem. They just wake up and they're kind of aimless, you know, wandering through the house or, you know, going out during the day without a purpose. And they're looking for that structure. So we have structure. It's not militant. You know, they're not in jail or anything like that. It's a voluntary program. So 12 noon, they arrive and we have lunch for them. at David Lawrence, and then we check them in, basically do a pulse check. How are you doing? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is your depression and anxiety going? How are your urges going for, you know, wanting to use a substance if that's their issue? How did you sleep? And that changes night by night. So they may have slept well the night before. And then last night they'll say, you know, I had an argument with my mother. I only slept 2 hours. So we already know going into the day that they're probably going to be a little tired. You know, and we're supportive of that. You know, we help them through it. 12:30, they have their first wellness group. Wellness is more lighthearted, sort of like, you know, learning coping skills, participating in things maybe they haven't done before. We have art therapy by an experienced and credentialed art therapist. That's usually one of their favorites. Music therapy by a music therapist. And we even have yoga. Now, some people, you know, when you mention yoga, they'll say, oh, I don't do that. So we're not doing hardcore yoga, so to speak, but we'll offer it as, we call it mindful movement, mindful movement. So if someone says to the instructor, I really don't want to do yoga, then he or she will do something different with them, maybe more deep breathing or just some movement, maybe yoga from the chair. You know, something more mild. We have pet therapy. The dogs come in from Paws, golden retrievers. Oh, they're a little love. We just love those dogs. And we also have arts and crafts. When the other therapists aren't there, then our own staff do those groups. Then we have therapeutic process group at 1:30. That's an hour, and that's your traditional group therapy.
Yeah.
Sometimes people speak, and sometimes people listen, and they find that very helpful. Break, a little break with a snack at 2:30, and then that's followed by the education group, and we have a specially designed curriculum for that. That is the Journey to Psychological Empowerment. It's an evidence-based intervention that's designed to enhance their psychological empowerment in 6 steps. And we pre-test and post-test them so we can actually measure if it has improved their scores. Hmm. And they really like it. I mean, it's based on things that are what we feel are common sense. You know, we just assume we have these skills. And sometimes people did not get these skills either in their childhood or in their growing years.
Can you give me an example of one of the skills or something somebody
yes.
might learn? Yeah.
Well, it's Monday through Friday, the program, so each day we do a different step. So on Mondays, we have developing self-esteem and confidence building. We start there because that really is the foundation. Now, I'm a nurse, and in my field, if nurses do not have healthy self-esteem, people can die. You know, that's how important self-esteem is. If you don't have self-esteem, you make bad decisions. If someone offers you drugs, you may say yes, just because you don't have the confidence to be able to say, no, I don't need that right now. Tuesday is developing assertive communication skills. Sometimes we're passive aggressive. Sometimes we're passive. Sometimes we're aggressive. And it doesn't work for a lot of people when we use those coping skills. So we try to help them learn how to be more assertive. And we have a little self-assessment in each of these steps so that they can see a baseline score and then go from there. And then we retest them in the second week. And honestly, it's amazing how much just even a self-awareness that you know your self-esteem or your assertiveness score was low, you become more focused on it, you know, to see, okay, I didn't realize this. Let me find ways and really learn how to improve this. Wednesdays is developing healthy personal and professional relationships. How do you make friends? You know, how do you find people as mates who are healthy for you? How do you make good decisions around those relationships? How do you resolve conflicts between people? Very important. And then on Thursday, we go into something a little bit deeper because now we're at the higher level order skills. That is using yourself as a moral agent, which means doing the right things for the right reasons, not being afraid to be popular and just go along because, you know, you want to make a friend. If you don't agree with something, say no. Say no. So we help them with that. And then there's another step and the final step, which is probably something I would say we cannot resolve in those 10 days that they're with us or 3 weeks. In that last step, it's developing a sense of purpose and meaning. Why are you alive on this earth at this point in your life? What is your purpose? And it helps them really think about things. You know, why am I here? One child on the adolescent side, I asked her that and she said to me, oh, my purpose is to be mentally ill for the rest of my life. She was 13 years old.
Wow.
And everyone in the class just looked. And I asked her again, and she said, I meant that. So we worked with her to find a purpose. Maybe at 13, you really don't know your purpose yet, but definitely not to be thinking, you know, you're going to be mentally ill for the rest of your life. Sometimes, even if you have problems, you could still go on and do great things.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. I feel like we could all use that.
Yes.
Every single one of those days.
That's my dream. That's my dream, yeah. Carrie, is to have the adults who have children maybe go into the program at the same time so that they learn the same things and they practice the skills so that when they go home, you know, the child's not on their own or the adult's not on their own, they can work together. That's my dream.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are the family members ever invited in? Or, I mean, I know the program's new, so you might not have done this yet, but like, do family members come in and do trainings or anything?
Well, that's one of the main differences between the kids program and the adults. Mm. The kids really, it's not optional. We need the family to be involved, whether it's the parents or the guardians.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't have parents for a variety of reasons. So they may have a guardian who is appointed. So that's part of the program. That's a given. But on the adult side, because they're adults, they have a say in whether they want anyone from their family involved in the program. They sign a release for whoever that is that they decide could be involved. And then we contact them and we set up family therapy. So it's not a given. We don't automatically do that.
Yeah.
We need to speak to the adult client to see if it's okay with them, because sometimes it is one of the parents they're having issues with, or a brother or sister that they're estranged from, and that's part of their guilt or part of the feelings of depression. And they feel that, you know, if they bring them into the picture of their treatment, maybe it would help them. If they give us the okay, we can set that up for them and facilitate it. One of the last steps in the journey is coping skills as well. So we work on their coping skills. And then at 3:45, we have another wellness group.
Mm.
It's something light to wrap up the day, but something very pertinent to their treatment and something that we feel that they would enjoy. And then we'll ask them, too, for that last group, you know, given what we did today, what else would you like to do? We have a variety of things, and we can pull something together pretty quickly.
Huh.
You know, they might say, you know, we don't want another arts class. We just had that this morning. How about if we do something else, like practice journaling, or can we do a game? Can we play chess? And someone might say, wow, that's a game. What is that about? It teaches them how to have fun. How to have fun and how to engage with other people and to follow rules of something without getting frustrated.
Mm.
We can tailor it to a variety of issues that they're experiencing. Then about 4:45, we wrap up. We close with closing remarks for the day. How did your day go? What did you learn? And then at 5:00, they're on their way.
Are some of the people in the program, I know that in, especially with drug and alcohol addiction, like relapse is common.
Yes.
So are they people who maybe have been in the hospital a couple of times?
Great question, Carrie, because that just happened recently. We had a, without saying too much, you know, for privacy, we had an individual in the hospital and a referral was made by their discharge planner for that person to come to our program. They thought it would be a nice step down, and the physician, the psychiatrist, endorsed that. So we've called once and twice and three times. And by the third call, the client said, I'll be there. Scheduled a time, came in, sat in the lobby, finished the release of information, and then left.
Oh.
So then we contacted the client after, and the client said, I wasn't ready.
Mm.
But that was a big step to go in the car, drive there, and to show up in the lobby. So we won't give up on her.
Mm.
Now, this client in particular has a substance use history. So, you know, we don't know what's going on, but we know that we're going to stay in touch and we're going to make sure, you know, that we keep an eye on things.
Hmm.
And when she's ready, hopefully she'll come in.
Yes. Oh, that's
it's voluntary. So we can't, you know, enforce it. But there was a situation, again, without saying too much, an individual was called once. I called her myself. Second time I called. And, you know, that's a fine line between badgering someone and staying in contact with them. So, you know, you have to weigh the, you know, go with your gut. What do? So I called her again, and she told me when she came that third call was the call that did it.
Oh, wow.
She played the messages over and over, and she was a little hesitant to come in for different reasons, and then came in and successfully completed the program.
Wow. It's such a sometimes it's more art than science, I guess.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, I know there's a lot of science too, but
and
like
timing.
You said.
Timing. Yeah. Timing's a big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a fear factor, the unknown. Who will I see there? Our first client was alone, all alone. She was our first client. And I asked her about that. How did you feel about being alone? And she said, I liked it. So timing was perfect for her.
Yes.
Because that's what she wanted. And, you know, that's not always possible. But I always look at it this way, Carrie, whatever's meant to be is to be.
Mm.
And I say that to them. If you were here alone, that was your time. And this is what was probably the best thing for you.
Mm.
And somehow it always works out.
Yes, yes. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about a program called Pathways to Healing. It's a new program at David Lawrence Center that helps patients transition from inpatient care to outpatient services. And we are here with Denise McNulty from David Lawrence. We mentioned that you have a similar program for adolescents. Are the programs very much the same, or are they different, or can you talk about the difference?
Another great question. Well, there are three main differences. One is the age. Obviously, you know, for the children's side, the adolescent side, it's 13 to 17. One call I remember was a mother saying, my daughter's 18, but she's immature. She's not a true 18. Would you accept her? Of course we would.
Yeah.
Sometimes an 18-year-old fits in better with people younger than them or around their age. And then on the adult side, they have to be 18 in order to get into the program as an adult. And we'll go up as 90s, as a 100-year-old. Mm-hmm. However old they are as an adult, we'll take them. And then the other issue is finances. So on the adult side, we're very fortunate. We have funding through the state of Florida, which is why this program is made possible. And then, of course, with funds from David Lawrence, you know, from the budget. And right now we're offering that program at no charge.
Wow.
For any adult that really meets the criteria who feel that they could benefit from this program, no cost. It's amazing. I've never seen that in my whole career. On the children's side, it is a private pay program, but I've seen copays as low as $50 that covers the whole 10 days. So you never know. It's based on the plan that someone has. United, Humana, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, we take them. And Medicaid. Medicaid, depending on the plan, sometimes I've seen on the children's side, it will cover 100%.
Hmm.
So it's always worth a call. It's always worth
it. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I was going to ask you, I was afraid to ask you how much Pathways to Healing cost, but that's amazing that you're able to offer it for no cost.
No cost.
Which is really a major hurdle for many people. We talked a little bit about yoga and physical movement. I find that so interesting because it seems like it is necessary to kind of bring in the whole body and the whole person. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why is the movement important?
Yes. Really, when we see that is in the empowerment, the education group, where we do the coping skills. That's our third step. So how do people cope? A variety of different ways. So our job is to help them find the ways that work for them. Some people will tell us, I don't like any physical exercise. And on the kids' side, I'll ask them the next question. I'll say, do you have gym? They'll say, yes. Do you like it? No. Usually the children that don't like gym don't like the movement and the yoga. It's amazing. I don't know if that's a study out there, but I've seen a correlation. On the adult side, it depends on how they're feeling. Sometimes they feel a little sluggish, you know, from new medication they just started, or they haven't been used to movement. Also, they might feel embarrassed to get up and do something in front of other people. So we work with them on that. Again, if they can do it from the chair, we're happy with that. But it does tie in mind, body, spirit. All three need to be in harmony for our mind, our body to work. So if someone's mind is not functional at this point because they're not feeling right mentally, but their body's in good physique and they'll give it a try, sometimes that will help their mental state.
Yes.
You know, and the emotions that they feel. Same with spirit. You know, if they're feeling lost and empty and they have no purpose in life, then everything else is off.
Yes. Yes.
It all works in tandem together. So we don't push anyone to do anything. And the instructors are very, very flexible, and they chose to be at David Lawrence. A lot of the staff, of course, my staff are staff on board as employees, and a lot of the specialty therapists are contracted.
Okay.
And, you know, they're vetted through our system. They have to pass a background check and drug screen and all that good stuff. But they choose to be at David Lawrence. For example, our art therapist, Raina, she contracts with a number of different agencies, and she chose to be at David Lawrence. She said she believed in the mission. And she could really, you know, she has her own practice, that kind of thing. She could be anywhere and service anyone. And they come to us because they like the clients. They like that hands-on, and they want to work with us. So they're flexible. They'll work with us if we give them kind of a heads up, you know, client so-and-so is not really into yoga. Will you work with them differently? We talk to them before the group starts. That way they know going into it, you know, that they are going to do something different with that client.
Yes, that's nice too, that it's sort of custom, you know, it's almost tailored to the person.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah,
that's It's a small program. You know, we're not dealing with 30, 40 people. The most that we can take on the adult side is 15 clients.
Oh, okay.
So that's a nice number to work with, because they really do get the individual attention. On the kids' side, for the adolescents, we can take 10. Up to 10. So, and that's because of the van, you know, our size in the van. We take them all to equine therapy.
That's amazing.
Which they love. So,
yes.
And then, of course, capacity in the room. We don't want to be overcrowded, you know, where people feel, you know, they're closed in. So it's 10 on adolescent, 15 is our max on the adult side.
Huh. Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, you know, I think making the phone call is probably the hardest step for them, and they'll tell me that. You know, don't be afraid. Do anything you can to stay out of the hospital. You know, I'm not downing the inpatient side of any facility, but it is traumatizing for people, both kids and adults. Sometimes I have to do a group with them to sort of process their stay in the inpatient world, and because they're hearing things that they've never heard before or seeing things firsthand of kids and adults that are going through crises and trauma, and maybe they lived a more sheltered life at home, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness, is that going to be me? You know, is that going to happen to me? So we process that, and we say to them, do anything that you can to try to stay out of the inpatient world. You know, you don't want to get Baker acted. There's ways to resolve things without losing your temper or throwing a chair at your mother or committing suicide or self-harming. We're seeing a lot of that. I mean, that could be a show in itself, Carrie. Honestly, it's just amazing to me what's going on. A child one time said to me, you know, if anyone ever took my iPhone away from me, I would just kill myself. And I looked at her and I said, you would kill yourself if someone took your phone? And she said, yes. I mean, she meant it. I mean, you know, that whole, you know, from I'm losing my cool jumps all the way to I want to end my life.
Yes.
But there's a lot of things in between that can be done
which are,
before that ultimate
them.
Thought of I want to end my life, or I want to cut my wrist 10 times, or I want to cut my neck. And then I wind up in the hospital and I get an infection because of the wound. You know, it's just a calamity of situations that pop up. So,
and I just wanted to add, in case in case people don't know, being Baker acted is a non-consensual, or what you probably know the definition better than I do.
Yeah, a Baker Act. It's the whole, like I said, that could be a show in itself.
Yeah,
but the Baker Act is really a commitment to a facility that's a Baker Act receiving facility. That's involuntary. So you don't have a say in that. When the police come, or, you know, and you're taken to a facility, you can't just say, officer, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And you're in there for a certain number of hours to be evaluated. And you either go home from that point or you stay. So it's, again, it's traumatizing.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's ostensibly like if they think you are in danger of harming yourself or someone else.
Yes,
right?
Or someone else, homicidal or suicidal. Yes, that is the main criteria. So it's a good thing that it brings people into treatment sometimes, and maybe they needed that because they would not have gone on their own, or their mother or their father or their family had no really say in helping them with that. So sometimes you have to do that. But on a positive, with us in the partial hospitalization program, intensive outpatient is another option we offer, which is really the program cut in half. Instead of 5 days, it's 3 days. That way they can work in between. They don't have to worry about their school studies. They have time in between the program to do their studies. And instead of 9 to 4 for the kids, it's 9 to 1. So there's a lot of options. But I would say, if I had to say anything, it would be before you consider ending your life or cutting yourself and have a scar that may not go away for the rest of your life, make the call, call us, and at least talk to us. And we can tell you about the program. And work through some of those fears or concerns that you have and help you get in there. Especially on the adult side, it's free. Hmm. So you can't lose anything. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
And it is something where you have to, you know, show up and come in and take a chance. But I think it's worth it in the end.
Well, I'm afraid we're running out of time, but I have been talking with Denise McNulty of the Pathways to Healing program at the David Lawrence Center. Denise, thank you so much for joining us on Gulf Coast Life. We will have links to the program for more information at WGCU.org. Thank you for listening to Gulf Coast Life. I'm your host, Carrie Barber. We had production help today from Mike Canary and Emma Rodriguez. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.